Let's pray. All right. Father God, more than anything, we just ask for your presence to be manifest amongst us here now, Lord Jesus. May we undeniably know your presence here with us today. May our minds see and understand what you want us to take hold of today, Lord. May our hearts receive it gladly. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So, where's the favourite place that you've ever been? Anyone like to share their favourite place? Or one of their favourite places?
Church on Sunday.
Church on Sunday. Oh, what a good answer. Prefer that. Why'd you go on holiday to Europe if this is it? Just joking. Anyone else? All right. Well, I know for me, I think of some of my favourite places and times, was a few of the holidays that I've been on. I remember when I was young with my parents, we had a holiday house just looking straight over the beach, and you know, it was wonderful going to sleep at night hearing the relaxing sound of the waves on the beach. Had a balcony on the front, and my parents could sit out there and read their books, and me and my sister were playing down on the beach and in the waves. It was great. It was a pretty dumpy house actually, but you know, it's not the surroundings so much, it's often the people you're with. Although, if I was going to that place that's in the photo there, I reckon that'd be pretty cool. That might be one of my favourite places too. And I know, particularly when I've gone for some walks with Sharon, the family, in forests and places like that, and you hear the wind coming through the trees, it's almost like God talking to you. They've been some wonderful times as well. But wherever we go, Jesus is with me. Doesn't matter if I like views as well, like looking out on lovely scenes and things like that. So it doesn't matter whether I'm on a mountaintop looking at a wonderful view or being put in jail and in a terrible dungeon somewhere. I know that Christ is with me wherever I am. But how do we know when Christ is with us? Well, we can feel him sometimes. We have those special times when we're with him and you feel his presence come upon you. And then we can hear sometimes as well. I know Rob Bailey, when he was doing his prophecies, always said, when I'm receiving from the Lord, I look to see what he's showing me. So it might be a vision, it might be a scene, it might be whatever God visually shows. But sometimes God speaks to us, gives us a word. So we're listening to what God is saying, but also sensing as well. So sometimes we just have a feeling in our heart. It might be about someone, you know, well, we feel trouble about that someone. Maybe I better just check up on them and see how they're going, or whatever it is. So there's various ways that God communicates to us. But in my last sermon, I talked about Jesus wants us to come to him. But it's up to us whether we do or not. So we have to be intentional about it. We can't just be going, you know, thinking about going about our life and ignoring God and thinking that sometimes he will break into our lives even when we're least expecting it. But if we want to, on a regular basis, come into the God presence of God, we've got to be intentional about coming to him. And, you know, do we really want to go there? But I know there's been a few times this week, not just this week, but regularly I think, oh, you know, it's my time to come to God and I don't really want him. I don't feel like it was. I'm thinking about other things I've got to do in the day and everything else. And I go, I don't want to do this. But I do anyway. And I always come out the other side different. A better version of myself I come with whatever complaints I have. Oh, I'm not happy about this, or whatever it is. You know, you might have stuffed up or mucked up. I come to God with that. And He helps me with wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm thinking, no matter what mood I'm in, what's happening in my life. After I've been with Him for a while, I have a different perspective, a different way of looking at things. And my heart changes from the inside, from going angry to knowing His peace, from being depressed to feeling His joy. It's amazing. And Jesus Himself rose early every morning and went to a quiet place where He spent some one-on-one time with His Father. It wasn't like an optional thing for Him. He knew that that's what God wanted Him to do. And, you know, we need to find that. Sometimes that's difficult in the hurly-burly of life, particularly, you know, think of someone like Alicia with young kids, and they always want your attention and things like that. So it's easier for some of us and harder for others, but nevertheless, we need to find that space, that place where it's just us and God. So we can come to Him and, you know, is there anything else that we would rather be doing? Is there any place we'd rather be? And today, what I'd really like us to grab hold of and understand is that this is an incredible opportunity we have to live in His presence. Doesn't matter where we are or whatever we're experiencing or going through in life, Jesus still wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to make that opportunity in His life. But even more than that, He wants us to receive what He has to give to us, what He's wanting to input into our lives, change in our hearts. But the fact is that wherever, as this verse in Matthew says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So, what do we treasure? What do we value? Because that's what our heart is desiring. And then he goes on further, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. So when we're desiring something, we focus on it. That's, our eyes go to it. It's what we're chasing after. And that's what we're bringing into ourselves. Our life, this is an analogy for what are we bringing into our lives? What are we bringing into our bodies? Is it the light of God, who only gives us good things, brings us peace and love and joy? Or are we chasing after other things that might look exciting, might promise wonderful things, but ultimately they're only short-lived, and usually in the long term actually the opposite causes harm? Like, hey, it can be pretty fun getting drunk or having a trip on drugs, but in the end they consume us. That's an extreme example, but there's lots of things in our lives that can be our work or our family take the place of God. But the trouble is then they can never take the place of God. They might be wonderful and great in their own thing, but if we're having that expectation of, like, putting our spouse, expecting from them the same things that we should be receiving from God, that's inevitably going to damage our relationships as well. So, I believe we can get connected securely and deeply with Jesus and delight in His presence. And I think this photo illustrates that. That we can go deep into the living water of God And there's no end to what we can receive. And when we receive, it's usually so we can give it out and be filled up again as an ongoing process to love God and then love others. When we come to God, you can see that in that bottom photo there. It's a construction site. And it's really important that we build the right foundations in our lives. And often when we come to God, it looks a bit like a mess down the bottom there. But he wants us to build the right foundations in our life. And getting our relationship right with him first then allows him to build wonderful things in our lives. So you can see above it, the Eiffel Tower points to the sky. When we get the foundational things right in our life with Jesus, we automatically do the right things in our lives. We bring people to Jesus. We point them to him and bring his love and light into their lives and make a difference for other people, not just ourselves. Like God is a giving God, he wants us to be able to give. And, you know, if we're not mature, if we're just little babies or children in Christ, we still need, you know, that's the complaint that Paul had against the Corinthian church. They loved all the spiritual stuff, but they weren't mature. He said, I can only give you milk. I want to feed you the adult food. I want you to become mature. But at heart, they were still being selfish. But when we come to God every day like Jesus did and let him work on us, when we genuinely learn and start to understand what he's saying to us, he will change us, and then he will be able to start using us effectively for his kingdom. The Holy Spirit breaks through to people when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And I'm not sure that Jim shared it with me or whether it was with the whole church when he came and preached. I'm talking about Jim Varsos. But I remember sharing a story with me when he was just in Stirling, went to one of the cafes there, and there was a lady sitting by herself. I thought, well, sure, I'll go over and have a chat with her and see if she wants to have a chat. And she did. And they got talking, but he just really felt all of a sudden prompted to ask her, who has hurt you so badly? It wasn't part of the conversation, but as soon as he said it, she just burst into tears and ran out of there. Because when the Holy Spirit is with us, he gets to the heart of the matter. So sometimes people come with a complaint, and that's not what the issue is at all. But God knows what they really need. And so it might be that they come in really happy, but suddenly you think, I think they need prayer for him. Or whatever it is. When we're sensitive to God, we can help people in deeper ways than we can ever imagine. We can get to the heart of where people are at. And like Jim did with this lady that suddenly had an insight into her life, and suddenly the curtains were opened into her heart. And it was too much for her at that time, but hopefully she will come back to God and want to receive more from him, even though sometimes it can be a difficult process. So how do we make this connection with God? Ephesians 2:18 tells us, now all of us, not just some of us or a few of us, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. We've just been through communion, remembered what Jesus has done for us on the cross, shed his blood, which paid the price for our sins. So there's nothing, we're clean, we're perfectly acceptable to God. There's nothing that can stop us coming to him. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's an amazing, amazing statement. And it's a fact, whether we recognize it or not. And you notice here, I've got a wedding photo. This is the example of a relationship. It's the type of relationship that God wants us to have with him. The closeness of husband and wife. And it's one of the relationships that the devil wants to destroy. And, you know, we see the divorce rate in our society because he doesn't want us to get close to each other, and he certainly doesn't want us to get close to God. And he'll do what he can to stop it. So, in the Bible, it talks about the church as the bride of Christ. And so, and it talks about husband and wife when they come together. They become one flesh. So as husband and wife become one flesh, so we become one spirit with the Lord. When we believe, his Holy Spirit comes to live in us. In the Old Testament, he was only in the temple. Sometimes he came upon people for particular times and prophets to speak the word, but he didn't actually live in people. Now he actually lives in us. We're called temples of the Holy Spirit. And we can take advantage of that and get to know him. So how do we connect? How do we connect to Jesus through his Holy Spirit? I find the best place to start for me, might be different for different people, but start praying in tongues. I find that that is what connects me to God, like a spiritual umbilical cord. And like an umbilical cord is for a baby that provides the nutrition to keep it alive. If we want to stay spiritually alive, we need to have that connection with God. And I find that speaking, praying in tongues, singing in tongues makes the difference for me. And I just keep going until I feel his presence come. And this week, I've almost experienced something different every time I've come to the Lord. Earlier in the week, you know, I just was almost there straight away and felt like he was pouring his spirit into me. It was wonderful. Another day, struggled a bit more, but then, you know, I couldn't really see much. Normally I'm a visual person, couldn't see much. What's going on here, Lord? And then all of a sudden, I felt this incredible peace come over me, which was completely unexplainable. And another time, just nothing was happening. What's going on? You know, like, maybe God's, you know, thinking, God is saying to me, like, well, I'm not just going to give it to you easy every time. I want you to work for it. How much do you really want me? How much do you want this? Yes, Lord, I really do want it. Come on. I kept going and going and going. I think I'm not giving up on this. And then it was worth it because I saw a vision into heaven and the wonder of heaven. And I saw Jesus there as well. And it was, you know, wow, Lord. I can hardly wait to be there. You know, what a blessing and what a privilege. But keep going, don't give up on God. How desperate are we for him? How much do we really want him? He also says, worship in spirit and truth. So, his truth is the word of God. His words are incredibly important. We're privileged that we've got them written down in the Bible. And they're like spiritual water and bread, like we need physical bread and water are our basic sustenance that we need every day. We need his spirit, we need his word. Because without his spirit, we'll never get insight and understanding into his word and how to apply it in our lives. And the spirit brings, as we're going about our normal lives, often the spirit will bring to remembrance things that Jesus has taught, scriptures. I can never remember the numbers, don't ask. A scripture will come to mind. I can't remember exactly the reference of where it is. Is it in Corinthians? I think it's in Corinthians somewhere. This, you know. But the more you can learn it and understand it, more you can start applying it. And the other thing I would encourage us to do is read the scriptures out loud and pray out loud. You know, it says the word of God created the world, but it was spoken into existence. It wasn't like God just thought it. He actually spoke the whole of creation into existence. So, and it talks about the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. So if we're not speaking it out, it's like we've got our sword in our holster. We're thinking about, oh yeah, great, you know, fighting the enemy, fight, doing this. But if we don't actually speak it, it doesn't have the same effect on its effect in the spiritual world, but also its effect and power in our lives as well. Because when we speak it, we're putting more of us into action, and it helps us understand and articulate it better when we put it into words, because we're participating more in it. So if you want a greater level of effectiveness in your prayer life and your understanding of the scriptures, speak it out loud, pray it out loud. Now, we know that's not possible on all occasions. Potentially, if you're maybe, you know, travelling on a bus somewhere, people may not appreciate that. They might tell you to be quiet, but maybe it might be good for them too. So, but what we're really talking about here is in our private time with God, but I just think it's a good habit to get into anyway. The value of praying cannot be underestimated. Ephesians 6:18 says here, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. It's a pretty amazing thing. So, well, shouldn't we be doing anything else? Just going around praying and stuff all the time? No, I think it's... but it's to have a mind set of whatever's happening, we can pray about it. We can bring it to the Lord. As you know, as I said before, Jesus is with us. He's inside of us. It's like you're taking your mate with you everywhere you're going. And so, you know, if you've got your, those of us who are married, or you know, you can, if you're not, you can manage hanging out with your best friend or something like that. If you never speak to them, or only speak to them once a week, that wouldn't be too flash. Wouldn't be a very good relationship, would it? So as you're going through life, you can be sharing that, going, well, you know, oh Jesus, you know, what do you think about this or that? Or, hey, wow, that's amazing what happened there, Lord, isn't it? Have a conversation. Include him in what you're doing. Now, and I think Jesus wants us to have a focus on heavenly realities. And you might say, well, you know, that's just pie in the sky stuff. That's of no earthly value. You just got your head in the clouds, you know, like, well, that's not a UFO in the picture there. That's actually a piece of pie in the sky. But, you know, and some people might say, well, you know, how does this help my work? How does this pay the bills? Well, Jesus does speak to that. He says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. In other words, get right with me and he will give you, you know, a few bits that you need, you know. You know, he's a bit stingy. No, he doesn't say that. He will give you everything you need. Not just a bit, everything. He knows what you need. Clothes and food, bills to be paid. He says he will give you everything that you need. Do we believe that? That God can supply our needs? Do we believe what we sung today about he's above all thrones and dominions, all powers and authorities? And we've heard the story that Anne gave us about Elijah. He was in a cave. God sent an angel to feed him and ravens to feed him. Or crows or whatever you want to call them. So even in miraculous ways, He can do stuff for us. Focus on heaven and Christ. Colossians 3, 1 to 4 here says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. So we're a new creation in Christ. And actually heaven is a greater reality than earth. We're so caught up in what our physical senses can see that if we're honest, we're totally out of touch with what's going on in heaven and what Christ is doing. And he's saying, no, this is actually a greater reality because in, like Ephesians, it says, you are seated in heavenly places. And here it goes on to say, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. So he's already won the victory. The victory's already won. And he's already at rest at God's right hand. He's already done everything he needs. And it goes on to say, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. What? That's also what he was saying before. Seek the kingdom of God first. For you died to this life. An old life is gone. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a pretty tough thing for us to actually grasp that this is actually a greater reality, because that's ultimately where we're going to be. And that's ultimately where we should be thinking about where we are, about the victory we have in Christ, and actually start living it. You know, often we're thinking down about ourselves, or like us, you know, see so many Christians going, you know, oh, I'm this and I'm that. No, you've already won. Christ has already done it for you. Start seeing yourself how God sees you. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And he showed me some of that this week. And it's incredible. It's amazing. And just, wow. But nevertheless, at the moment, while we're still living in this place, we will be tested by fire. Our character and works will be tested for their quality by the fire of judgment. Now, we are saved. We're, as I said, the heavenly reality is that we're up there. But in the meantime, what we do, we will receive a reward in heaven, and it will be tested by fire. There'll be some people that says that, you know, will get in there like they're patting the flames off their back, and they're like smoking because they made it in, but they didn't have anything else of value for Jesus. They might be the person that on their deathbed gave their life to Christ. Or they might be saved but weren't really living, even though Christ is faithful to them, they weren't living faithfully to him. So God does care about what we do. And Matthew 3:11 to 12 says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and this is what John the Baptist is saying about Jesus, and with fire. And he goes on to say, he's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but the burning chaff with never-ending fire. So he's talking about judgment here, that in the end, what we've done will be judged as well. And the stuff that makes it through the fire will get a reward for that. Some will get a bigger reward, some will be less. We don't know exactly what that is, but I mean, I'm just happy if I make it, to be honest, and anything above that's a bonus. But this is also, I think, an ongoing process in our life now, that when we come to Christ, he's, you know, getting rid of the chaff in our life, the stuff that has no value. Because sometimes we even, on the outside, it looks like we're doing something good, but on the inside, our motivation is all wrong. Our heart isn't in the right place. And that's what God's really interested in, is what's happening in our heart. So, what, even if we just had a natural fire in our life, like a bushfire went through, What in our lives would survive the fire? Not much. What would we really miss? What couldn't we do without? Certainly there's some things that make life easier, like a house. But Jesus didn't have a house, did he? He said, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a permanent house. Certainly the people cared for him and gave him hospitality and things like that. But he had to trust God for that. What are we holding on to that we need to let go of? And I know there's been some things in my life that God said, you're chasing after the wrong things here, buddy. You know, these things, you know, they're just things that you want. They're not things that you really need, and they're not going to contribute anything to my kingdom. What do we really need? Are we putting our time and energy into the things of eternal value? Are we building God's kingdom here? What's the one thing you want more than anything else? If God could give you one thing, what would it be? What's the one thing you can't do without? Do you already have it? I know I do. I've been blessed because I do have love. I think the one thing that I just couldn't live without is God's love. But also the love of my wife, my family, my friends are just the icing on the cake. If I have those things, I could be a happy man. And I could keep on living and being successful for God. Because people that don't have love shrivel up and die from the inside out when we don't have love. And the fact is, our material possessions won't survive the flames. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having nice things, but it's not what our ultimate focus is. If those things come along, you know, I know a previous church I was in, there was a couple that came from India, and they had, you know, a different perspective on things than what I had at the time. And he said, I always have open hands. And he said, God puts things into my hands, but my hands are open hands, so I'm ready to give if I'm called to give. Sometimes people come and take things out of my hands. But if I'm holding on to things, there's some things that are worth holding on to, like God's love. But there's some things that we don't need to hold on to. And I thought that was a nice illustration of how we should think about possessions. Because Jesus commands us, don't store up treasures here on earth. We're not storing up ourselves. Remember he gave the example of the guy that was building himself a bigger barn, thought, I'm going to be set for life. He was putting in his trust into that. And he said, you fool, your life's going to be taken tonight. You've got your wires completely crossed. You're thinking about completely the wrong thing. You're putting trust in temporary things. We can't take any of this stuff with us. So, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. And where thieves break in and steal, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rusts can't destroy it. And thieves do not break in and steal stuff. I remember Billy Connolly talking about, he was growing up, might be one of the Scottish cities, but it was known to be one of the poorer Scottish cities. And he said, we never locked our door. And someone said to him, but don't worry about being stuff being flogged, you know, particularly in a poorer area. He said, we didn't have anything to steal, maybe a bit of bread, but we're happy to share that stuff if people are that desperate, you know, and it's a different perspective on life. When you don't have much, you don't have much to lose either. So, oh, hang on, I think did I skip one there? What one am I up to? No, that's right. Just got to get it on my computer. So what is heavenly treasure? Well, it's just doing, going about the things that Jesus gives us to do in our everyday lives. But as a church, from a church perspective, spreading the good news about Jesus so people actually know about him. But more than that, Jesus commands us to make disciples and help them to, what our church slogan says, love, know and grow. So to love God more, to know him more and grow more like him. So that then they can then disciple others to love, know and grow as well. Learning to use our God-given talents to be effective in ministry and help and our Holy and be open to his Holy Spirit giftings. As he said, the Holy Spirit giftings, words of wisdom, healing, miracles, to build up and they're there to build up and encourage his church. So that is treasure. That is, they are things of eternal value. I think I skip on them. I push it too much, don't I? So what are we building? Who are we sowing our love into? If we go back to today's verses, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. What are the things that are truly important for us? And then he goes on to say in verses 22 about what are we concentrating on? What are we looking at? Because are we looking at, are we filling our lives with Jesus' light? With all the good things that he wants to give us, his love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and letting him refine us, purify us? Or are we getting distracted and following other directions? So what or who are we focusing on? God or something or someone else? Are we walking, letting him into our lives? Or are we trying to do it on our own? Often we, try and survive in our own strength. As I said, I've been privileged this week to see the glory of his presence. But that was only a glimpse, a foretaste, like looking through a keyhole into what's been prepared for us. What we see now in part will be fully revealed, and we look forward to eternity. But in the meantime, God does so much more than we ever see or realize or think of. He goes before us to prepare the way. He goes along with us. He's with us as we go along the way. And then he goes back behind us to fix up our mistakes, to clean up the mess that we make sometimes, to heal those that we've hurt or the things that we've mucked up. I'm amazed in my life how many silly things I've done and God has miraculously turned it around into something good and helpful. And, he'd be rather us having a go, I'd rather see my kids having a go at something and making mistakes than just going, oh no, it's all too hard, and being too fearful to do anything or try anything. And with God, you can't lose. Because as I said, we've already got the victory. We can't lose. We can only win more. Win more for Christ in our own lives, but other people. The battle, the war's been won. Yes, there's battles still to be fought down here, mainly to save as many lives as we can for the kingdom. So, living in his presence, there's nothing more important than dwelling in his presence. There's absolutely no substitute for being with God. Because when we do, every part of our life is affected and refined for God's purposes, and empowered and equipped for his kingdom work. And our thinking and our attitudes are changed so we see and understand things from God's point of view. And then we can act in a way that pleases him. When we really understand what he wants and what we've got to do, it becomes easier to then live in a way that pleases him. It's like Jesus said, when we act out of love, we can do no wrong. When we act with Jesus as the foundation in our life and his presence and living with him, basically it's harder to make mistakes. So, living in his presence, his Holy Spirit gives us words of wisdom and a peace of heart to respond with God's love even to those who hate us or are actively trying to bring us down. And, you know, if you watch the Charlie Kirk videos and how he handles a lot of those people, you know, some people say some pretty nasty things, and he doesn't respond with hate. Doesn't mean that he's not firm with them or give them a stern word or whatever it is, but he's there bringing God's love into whatever situation unfolds. Living in his presence, we're directed by his Holy Spirit, and our priorities and the way we work are reshaped. Living in his presence, Jesus is our friend. We can share and he shares the journey with us. And we can chat to him about whatever we're going through and whatever we're doing. We can share the journey with him. And living in his presence, we become fully equipped to go out and serve. We put on his armour, his giftings, and his power. We are ready and looking for opportunities to pour out Jesus' love and provisions into other people's lives. I want to encourage you today to have the faith, wisdom, and courage to step out and cooperate with God through his Holy Spirit. Before I move on to the final slide, so you can either do one of two things. I believe this is an invitation from Christ that I'm going to share with you, and I believe he's giving this to all of us here tonight, today. So you can either see the words on the slide as I read them out, or if you could good at imagining pictures, you can bow your head and close your eyes and imagining Jesus standing in front of you and asking you these words. I have called you. Now it's up to you. Will you answer my call and follow me? Spend time with me. Walk beside me, learning from me, so you understand my ways and faithfully carry out the work I give you. Don't worry. I will be with you to supply and give you everything you need for your life's journey. Will you lay down your life and trust me? Here I am, offering my hand. Take it and come and follow me. Amen.